Christian Science versus Spiritualism. In the early editions of Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy called this chapter Demonstration versus Imposition. We are most unwise if we accept the world belief that we are avenues or channels or mediums through which the Christ comes to earth. Christian Science does not teach that mortals are mediums for immortals, or that flesh is a medium for spirit, that organs are mediums for life. Jesus teaches us that we must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Flesh is not the medium for mind, God. If we accept the suggestion that we have once been a medium for truth, and we are now being persecuted for it, we had better wake up. The omnipresent mind is self-expressing. It has no medium, but directly expresses itself, and this is the Christ. Life and intelligence are purely spiritual. There are no mediums for life. Life is God. All is God. The self-creative mind needs no medium in this chapter. There are no mediums in Christian Science. Idea is not a medium. Idea is the activity of mind itself. At one time, people said that Mrs. Eddy was a medium. She corrected this constantly. She knew what Jesus had known, that of myself I can do nothing. She knew that spiritualism was absolutely erroneous. She tells us this throughout the chapter in unforgettable language. The gulf is fixed between what the world calls spiritualism and science. It is interesting that Mrs. Eddy started this chapter with a discussion of the word identity. She says, "The divine mind maintains all identities, from a blade of grass to a star, as distinct and eternal. The identity of all reality continues forever." Why this scientific approach to the term identity? Is it not that Mrs. Eddy desires the student to see that the divine mind identifies itself? No mediumship going on here, not even for error called a cough. It is a relief for the new student to find he is not a medium for God. God, the only ego, is present and self-identified. At no time does the responsibility fall on man that he must identify himself with God. Man does not identify himself with God. That would denote separation. Mind identifies itself. This is man. Be absolutely clear on this great point. Cause identifies itself. Effect cannot identify itself with cause. Does reflection identify itself with the original? Or is it the original that identifies itself with the reflection? This is the most scientific point. It is God present identifying himself, and there are no mediums. In this chapter, we find that marvelous statement. When being is understood, life will be recognized as neither material nor finite, but as infinite, as God, universal good. When this chapter is clearly realized, we are never tempted to believe that there is someone else knowing more truth, more reality, or someone more loving than we are. Nothing is present as person, nor is anything absent because of person. All is present because it is God, the Father, saying, "I am all." If a person could possibly be loving, kind, intelligent, this would be deflection. This would not be reflection. Christian Science is the science of divine reflection. When we see a brilliant performance, experience a glorious morning, a fresh day, see the purity of a child, guilelessness of a friend, feel the cleanness of the air, see the beauty of a flower. Never leave these qualities in person, place, or thing. See that you are experiencing your own divinity. How could you experience something outside of consciousness? Consciousness is fundamental. Consciousness is universal. Let us be alert that there is no medium in our universe, not even a flower to give us beauty. The beauty is present because it is God, not because flower can give it. If spiritualists understood the science of being, this belief in mediumship would vanish. If Christian scientists understood the science of being, their belief in mediumship would vanish. Where would fear go, and hate, and anger, and stress, anxiety, self-will, envy, jealousy go? Are we not thinking of persons, mediums? Of course we are. Let us be finished with such beliefs. There are no mediums in Christian Science. Let us be willing to leave all for the Christ and have that marvelous experience of the whole Christ, where we all speak the same language. We are constantly dealing in the world of symbols. Read this carefully, because it is a most important part of our work today. Even words are symbols. Let us see that the symbol called word is not a medium for realization. It is not a medium for knowing. The symbol is simply an indication that the fact is present and can be experienced without the symbol. We understand that money, silver, and gold are called symbols for abundance. But we do not think that the money is the medium for the good, for the abundance. Symbols are not mediums. The symbol is the hint that the fact is present to be experienced. The Liberty Bell is a symbol. It is not a medium for liberty. If it were, we could send bells all over the world and have liberty. It is most important to see that the symbol is not a medium. Take the symbol called rose or flower. It is not a medium for color, beauty, perfume. If the color, beauty, perfume were in the rose, we would have pantheism. And our leader denounced pantheism up one side and down the other. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. Beauty is a present fact because it is God. The rose can appear only because the fact is in God. We acknowledge home to be a very present fact. We say, in Him we live and move, and have our being. This is the fact. The understanding of the fact will have the symbol appear in the way that will bless mankind. It may be called a plane, train, trailer, or house. The symbol appears only because the fact has been known first. The symbol is not the medium. So it is with seeing, hearing, health, etc. These attributes are present because they are omnipresent. There is no absence of health because there is no absence of God. We do not see because of eyes. We see because seeing is ever present. The symbol cannot see. It is not a medium for seeing. A realization of this fact will heal blindness. Let us be absolutely clear on this scientific point. There are no mediums through which God, soul, life expresses itself. Mrs. Eddy says, knowing that soul and its attributes were forever manifested through man, the Master healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, feet to the lame. Then we read this marvelous reference: to understand that mind is infinite, not bounded by corporeality, nor dependent upon the ear and eye for sound or sight, nor upon muscles and bones for locomotion, is a step towards the mind science by which we discern man's nature and existence. This true conception of being destroys the belief of spiritualism at its very inception. For without the concession of material personalities called spirits, spiritualism has no basis upon which to build. This is a wonderful definition of what mind is and what mind does. It shows us that nothing is present as person. All is present because it is God. Mrs. Eddy says, "This soul sense comes to the human mind when the latter yields to the divine mind. Then we come to this tremendous point. The great teacher knew both cause and effect." Mrs. Eddy says, "Truth communicates itself." If we could heal the belief of mediumship, we would be capable of accomplishing any worthwhile project. Mind is not necessarily dependent upon educational processes. It possesses of itself all beauty and poetry, and the power of expressing them. Spirit, God, is heard when the senses are silent. We are all capable of more than we do. The influence or action of soul confers a freedom which explains the phenomena of improvisation and the fervor of untutored lips. If we could study that reference every day, then, she says, divest yourself of the thought that there can be substance in matter, and the movements and transitions now possible for mortal mind will be found to be equally possible for the body. Then being will be recognized as spiritual, and death will be obsolete. Let us divest ourselves of the belief that there can be a medium or symbol. Now our leader gives us the great point of departure for all true spiritual growth. Let us rid ourselves of the belief that man is separated from God, and obey only the divine principle, life and love. Here is the great point of departure for all true spiritual growth. There is no mediumship, no avenue, no agents, no channel. Then Mrs. Eddy warns us, absorbed in material selfhood, we discern and reflect but faintly the substance of life or mind. Now, are we today absorbed in personal sense with its bondage? Are we ridding ourselves of the suggestion that we are separated from our Father? Are we permitting the personal mind, putting on its burlesque show, to be our mind? Or are we the wise men today heralding Christ's eternal dawn and describing its effulgence? We should represent the wise man heralding Christ's eternal dawn. Then, as if summing up the chapter, Mrs. Eddy says, "Beyond the frail premises of human beliefs, above the loosening grasp of creeds, the demonstration of Christian mind healing stands a revealed and practical science. It is imperious as Christ's revelation of truth, of life, and of love, which remains inviolate for every man to understand and to practice." The chapter ends with the statement, "The calm, strong currents of true spirituality, the manifestations of which are health, purity, and self-immolation, must deepen human experience until the beliefs of material existence are seen to be a bald imposition, and sin, disease, and death give everlasting place to the scientific demonstration of divine spirit and to God's spiritual perfect man." It has been seen that soul identifies itself, and this is the glory called man. We have seen material existence to be a bald imposition. Belief in mediumship has gone down. We have seen that there is no matter for spirit to work through. Let us see the whole illusory nature of human experience, and we will never be tempted to believe in mediums. Mind directly expresses itself. This chapter gives us tremendous power because it has removed all mediumship, all symbols, and permits mind to reveal itself as the only knower, the only power, the only all, and leads us gently past the shoals of spiritualism, the belief in mediumship, to Christian Science, to that which is spiritual, divine, unerring. Christian Science leads us gently past the stone of personal sense and says, the admission to oneself that man is God's own likeness sets man free to master the infinite idea. Our leader shows us the golden thread, the oneness of all being, the nothingness of any other sense of existence. The student, grounded in the true sense of prayer, living the atonement, experiencing marriage, the Lamb's wife, love, wedded to its own spiritual idea, and now seeing the impossibility of a medium and a living divinity, we can say as Jesus said, of myself I can do nothing. My Father worketh this way, and I work. This is the science of divine reflection. This living, this knowing, is our defense against the wiles of suggestion to go elsewhere for literature. Never leave the purity of the teaching of Christian Science. All Christian Science is found in the Christian Science textbook. Do not permit the suggestion that someone can explain it better. Who can explain it better than the Revelator? The precious book contains all, and if our leader could say, since writing the book, she has learned the higher meaning of it, how could we accept the possibility that the textbook is difficult to understand? Every moment it is fresh. Every time we pick it up, it is new. Why? Because it is not a mediumship between God and man. It is mind revealing itself now and forever. We have seen how we must let the pale star go into the day star. We have seen prayer, the practice of God's presence. We have seen the atonement in living the oneness. We have seen marriage, principle and idea as oneness. We have seen that what humanly appears as marriage can be successful only as we take it back into heaven and see the oneness of being. Never malpractice by believing too. Then we have seen the chapter on animal magnetism unmasked from the standpoint of God's allness. We have seen its impossibility. We have seen in the chapter on spiritualism God's persistency to be all. Now we are going to take the next chapter.